Hello, listeners. Just want to ask you to stick around after the episode is complete. We have an interview with director of this video, Peter Zavadil. You don't want to miss that, so stay tuned. Welcome to the Music Video Night Podcast, where we watch music videos and deconstruct them into meanings that couldn't possibly be there. This is Jared.
And I'm Travis. And we're not experts in music or videos. I'm sorry, I can't match that. Yeah.
I just got real busy real fast, so I have energy. I'm trying to just...
Yeah. No, that was a dump right there. That was an energy dump right there.
It's going to be several. It's going to be several of them.
Okay.
We are not really in a time crunch, but a pinch.
Yeah.
A pinch of a hurry. So we'll just get through some stuff that we might linger on a little bit. Okay. All right. Fragrances of the day first. They're both Memo fragrances.
Jared picks. I had nothing to do with these. He said, I know exactly what you're wearing today. So here it is.
I am wearing Marfa, and he's wearing Vadu.
Ooh. That's different.
Yeah.
Smell yours?
Oh, yeah. Mine's more just like flowers, like a little soft garden.
Wow. Yeah, yours is sweet.
Yeah.
Mine is.
Can you smell yours?
Very harsh.
It's oud. Okay, so...
I bet it takes a minute to cool off.
Yes. Mine has a hidden reason why you had to put that on, because one of my friends was like, hey, I'm looking at this fragrance. Do I need it? And I was like, I have it. Let me smell it again. So...
Oh, I was a guinea pig.
You're a guinea pig. Okay. I mean, I've worn it. I just haven't worn it in a while.
All right. So. I'm going to say to your friend... Nah, pass.
But yes and no, he likes that stuff.
Does he? It's very strong.
It's strong and thick and stanky.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves it. He loves it. So we're not even going to say what happened last week. We're going to be, should we be just full disclosure here?
Sure, yeah.
We're all over the place this season. We're late. We're not in an order right now. We're just recording so I can put something out.
Yeah, we had some issues with a recording that we're trying to fix, and hopefully we'll get that out and get back on schedule, but... You know, it doesn't matter anyway. Y'all are going to get whatever video you get, and you're all going to love it.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? We had our perfect season, so don't expect that. That
we're going to blow this one all to hell.
That was the hardest 10 weeks of my life.
Yeah. Fair.
Okay, so we won't cover anything that we did last week. We'll just get right into this.
Yeah, 2004, still.
Mm-hmm. May 5th, 2004.
Uh-huh. Suds in the Bucket by Sarah Evans. Yeah. Your pick.
My pick. So we'll... A few little background things. This is our, I believe, very few dabblings into country music.
Yeah. Yeah. They've not been great.
They haven't. Travis, would you believe we've worked with this director before?
I would.
Peter
country
Zavadil.
Music? Yeah.
It's Peter Zavadil.
You know what?
We interviewed him, you remember?
Yeah, so he did the Dierks Bentley.
The Dierks Bentley. What was I thinking?
Yeah, what was I thinking video that we covered. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but again, he's worked and still works with every country music star out there, and he was churning them out.
Yeah,
back in the day,
he was. So,
okay, I just wanted to see if you remembered, and you did. You remembered Peter Zavadil. Okay, he's there to hold us during these country music times, or drown us, depending
or drown
on
us,
your,
yeah.
Or drown us.
We've not been real nice on a lot of directors here lately. We were not very nice on the Dierks Bentley video.
We were not. We gave it very low, but
even though he super nice
and he loved the episode and he was a great interview, so super nice. So I'm interested to see how this goes again, because it could be a redemption for Peter or a disaster for Peter.
I feel like I should have known what the what we scored Dierks Bentley video, because I do not remember.
It was one of our lowest. It was in like the ones or the twos.
Okay. Fair enough.
I didn't look, but I just remember that being the case.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Yep. Any relation to this song?
Super popular country song. I think everybody in the world knows
Incorrect.
This song.
Incorrect. I did not.
You didn't know this song?
That's part of my relation. I only heard the song once I got with Kristen.
Wow.
I'd never heard it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I heard it. But I guess everyone who grew up listening to any country at all knows this song.
Sure.
Let's be fair. So, yeah. I've heard it... millions of times. Mm-hmm. No personal relationship to it at all.
Okay, I think today, like studying for this, is the most I've ever heard it in my life previous.
Wow.
So I've heard it today more than ever.
Oh, okay. No, I could have sang the whole thing in tune.
Please.
No. In my mind.
Oh, I thought we were in for a treat.
Nope.
A music video right, first.
So, moving on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, where do you want to go first,
I guess,
is the question.
I'm going to take a big swing first. We'll loop back.
Actually, you need to give us the walkthrough first.
Yeah, I can do that. Okay, so this, as we've discussed, video is the lyrics of the song. Exactly. Girl's waiting outside. A man pulls up, a boy pulls up in his truck and says, come on. And she does. And the parents are upset. And then the town starts to talk about her leaving on a whim with her boyfriend. The church talks about it. There's some gossiping ladies that talk about it. And then at the end of the video, it looks like it's about to happen again with another girl and another guy.
Yeah. That's it.
Yep. Okay. Cool. So here is me taking my swing.
Swing. Okay. Swing away.
It's my one sentence summation.
Already? Mm-hmm. So fast.
Yeah, because I just want to know if I'm right.
Okay.
Okay. One sentence summation. Travis buys a white pickup.
No. Not at all.
Okay. We'll come back to maybe why.
Not inspired to buy a white pickup.
Okay.
Never was inspired to
that's
buy
not,
a white
that's
pickup.
That's not the reason.
Okay.
That's not the reason.
Well, that's what I got.
Okay. That's fine. So it could still happen for me. I'm still excited about it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get it. How many? All right. I'm going to be honest with you. I have one. Okay. One theory.
Okay.
Not that I didn't try, because I know you get mad at me when I have mm-hmm. one theory.
I do.
I watched it 15 times.
Uh-huh.
Here's the problem, and we've talked about this so many times with country music videos.
Mm.
They're so literal.
This one especially is like spot on.
there's nothing. There is something that you can, but you have to go down the deepest rabbit holes to find something that's not there, which is what we do.
Yeah. So, and also, and there's a very easy. So aside from my synopsis, there is one very easy theory. Don't you believe that is there?
And I don't know. Okay. Easy? No.
Yeah, there's one that's just super easy.
That is what it is. Or you're saying that's not what it
that,
is?
That it is what it could be versus what it couldn't be.
Hit me with it, please.
Okay, so I think if you're just trying to make up something about this video, it's very easy to say that she's been murdered by this guy.
Like, what?
She's picked up by a serial killer, and then the town talks about her disappearance.
Yeah, but where did you get murdered?
Oh, well, the town doesn't see her again. She's gone.
Yeah, but you see her with him.
Oh, but she's a ghost dancing around. She's like haunting the place where she was abducted from, her small town.
No. You see her with the dude. Like, he proposes to her. Where did you get murder in here? You went down one of my roads.
Yeah,
you
that's just what I'm made saying. It's just a very easy murder thing.
Okay, I was going to say the easier route to go is Sarah is telling a personal story. Like, this is how her and her husband got together.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so she's just got actors kind of reenacting what happened to her.
Yeah.
But murder?
Yeah, I think she could have been murdered. And weirdly, and you can disagree with me on air here if you want to, because I have mixed feelings about this. I went into Sarah's personal life more than any other person we've been, because I think it matters when it comes to this video.
I was hoping you did.
Okay.
Because there are some questions that make you wonder how personal this video is to her personal life.
Okay.
So I'm glad you did. Do you want to go ahead and elaborate on those?
I can.
Okay.
I can. So again, sorry, Sarah, because we don't usually do this. And I'm not going to say anything good or bad about you. Okay. So that is her real husband.
Okay. Perfect. That's one of the questions I had.
So that is from her first marriage.
Okay.
And I have to say some stuff that is weird. So they did end up getting divorced. This was 2004. I think it was 2009. It was a very bad divorce.
Okay.
Okay. So it involved him, supposedly alcoholic, porn addiction, spreading explicit pictures, but it was of her.
Ooh, okay.
Like, so they, all in the divorce, like, nude things involving her and her husband, which nothing wrong with that in your marriage, sure. But like, if it gets messy, that's bad.
Right. Okay? Sure. Yeah.
So, and eventually it ends up like they separate. He ends up suing her lawyer also for publicly damaged image. And by the end of it, he's like, I'm not mad at my ex-wife. It was the lawyer's fault. And he wins the case against the lawyer, like a defamation case. So apparently the lawyer talked mad shit after the first court case was settled. And then he lost a court case against the ex-husband. Okay. After that, she gets married again to... I'm going to see if we can play Travis knows this person. Jay Barker?
Jay Barker?
Yeah. Who is that?
He's an athlete.
Correct.
Oh, you're going to have to tell me. I know exactly who he is, but I can't.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah.
Was for Alabama.
Was it for Alabama? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was her second husband.
Interesting.
Who she is still currently married. So...
Wow. That's a lot.
It was a lot. And the...
Not to put your business out there, which is already out there. It just... The reason we bring it up is because we're going to tie it to this video somehow, way, shape, form, or fashion.
And one of the first reasons I want to tie it into this is because I think Sarah Evans is a little freak.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think she is a bad bitch and probably a little crazy.
Yeah.
And I think... She
and super hot
and put it down on these three, the lawyer included. That's why he was all caught up. I think she put the business to all three of them, and they got caught up in Miss Evans, which will matter with this video.
Okay.
And now, do you understand why you bought a white pickup truck to pick up Sarah Evans?
Sure,
because I think when I saw her, I was like, this is Travis's exact type.
Yeah,
this is exactly who Travis was.
Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think she's gorgeous.
She is. Ooh. She is. She's, and not like she's not dressed inappropriately in this video.
No,
she's just hot.
Just hot.
Yep. Okay, that's it. So I was right. I nailed it.
Yeah, I would. I would have bought a. Yeah, just to pick her up. Sure.
Yep. Got it. She's 32 in this video, by the way.
Fair. Yeah. So she's in her 50s now.
Yes.
Yeah.
She just started a podcast and an album dropped 3 months ago.
Sweet. I'm gonna listen to it.
Cool. Well, there we go. So. There's a little background, or a lot of background, on Sarah Evans.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things in this video that, or really just one thing. Okay. I'm curious if you caught it. There's a sign in the church behind two of the women, the black woman and the white woman, kind of gossiping.
Yes.
There's a sign behind them with numbers on it. Did you get that information?
It was something about, like, offering? Did it say offering on it?
Yeah, so the first line, I cannot read. But I right next to it, is the number 41. And then it has attendance last Sunday, 3. Attendance today, 19. Offering last Sunday, 52. And then offering today is blank.
Okay.
But let me tell you, the reason I bring this up, I was trying to find something. So I'm like, 41-3-1952-0. What does that mean?
Is
Look how stupid I am. It means nothing.
Yeah. Is that Jay Barker's football numbers?
Maybe. Good. 41 was my football number back in the day.
You were meant to be with her, Travis.
I'm telling you.
She's pretty close. But she's older than us.
Look, that was like the very first thing I wrote down. I'm like, okay, this is where I'm going. I'm going to find something with this. I never did. Because I have no idea
what
it
tried.
Means.
You reached.
But I just want you to know that I was putting in the effort.
Yeah.
Okay? I noticed lots of stuff in
the
background.
I usually don't call you out unless, like, I feel it.
Yeah.
You know
fair,
what I mean?
Fair. I just want you to know I'm trying to make you feel it.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Cool. You only have one theory.
I only have one.
Do you have other tidbits or anything? Because you look like you got a lot of notes.
I have some notes, but my notes... Mostly, my theory is not a small theory. Like, I had to back it up with different things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff that I noticed, but it kind of ties into my theory.
Okay, fine. So I can go. I'll go ahead and go then.
Yeah.
All right. So my first one, I already said it, kidnapped and killed. The murderer left the note saying that she has to go.
Okay.
The ghost haunts the town. They hold a service in her honor. The gossip at the beauty salon. Who are calling in tips about the murder. And then at the end, the murderer is striking again. That's the video. Has nothing to do with the lyrics. It just doesn't really
line up. It's fine. Yeah. Like if
that's why I'm spitting it out first.
I'm going to leave it be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to tear it apart because it's a country music video and you have to reach.
Mm.
I mean... You have to reach very far to find something. And so I'm fine with it. I could say the two guys are different. So maybe it's following two different serial killers.
Mm-hmm. A pattern. A copycat.
Yeah. Or a copycat. That'd be good. But I will say this. No one shows her dying in the video.
No. The song doesn't really hint at that. Except for like, I can't believe she's 18 and gone.
Yeah.
Like you could, it's the biggest stretch. I'm not fighting for it. It's just something I threw at it.
Yeah. That's fair. I'm not gonna tear it apart. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Golly, murder. You took a Travis Road. All right, I'm going to kind of go into mine. I'm going to read some things that I noticed in this video first.
Is there a way to... So, yeah, if are you trying to guide me to your theory?
A little bit.
Okay, let's go.
First of all, what time period or years would you say this is in? Decade?
So, I actually wrote down it could be anywhere between 94 and 2004.
94 and 2004.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of the style of video. When does the actual video take place? I did not think of that at all. I'm watching on a line, but it's also a very rural era. There are pickup trucks, and a Camaro that he's driving?
Yeah.
So it would be 80s, right?
You would think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so washboards were not used anymore after the 50s.
Sure. No, I know that, but like, yeah. They're just in the rural area, so maybe they don't have a washing machine or like the electricity to support it.
They're not. Well, but they have electricity in the house. You can see the lights on. There's a beauty shop
which looks
to be a 60s style beauty shop, but the washboard is definitely early 50s and hanging clothes on the line. But then they're in a laundromat. Which didn't come around until the 60s. And then you have a little girl in the audience of the church with braces on, which weren't common until the 90s.
Okay.
This video is everywhere.
Time-wise?
Every time-wise. There's nothing cohesive that says, yeah, this is from the, and the cars, the truck. The truck is an earlier model 60s truck. The Camaro is probably a 70s, 80s truck. Camaro.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere.
So if we had to, the braces are the thing that put us in the most recent time.
The braces are, and the convenience store. And you can see that there's a, I don't know, the scanner thing in the grocery store.
Okay, barcode scanner?
Barcodes. So,
okay.
And that's not till 2000s. So where do you go?
So it has to be the latest thing that we see, right? I would say that maybe with where they are, the style of the church, it almost looks like there will be blood. Like, it could be like 1800. Sure. So sure. I think it's just a very redneck town, like a very deep country. Where one of my friends owned a house that was built in like the 1900s, and like they have two outlets in the house and extension cords that you have to run from everywhere. So, I mean, that explains the electricity in their house maybe a little bit and not having a washer dry because they just can't pull that much electricity or they're too poor or whatever. She's using a washboard. But I don't want to say that you're not onto something because, sure, like the hair dryers, everything else is very old-timey.
Mm-hmm. So, this is where my theory comes into play. Have you seen the movie The Village?
Yes.
M. Night Shyamalan?
I have.
So you have a community that is trapped in very early,
pioneer times,
pre-technology, whatever. And people are afraid to leave because elders have created this idea of monsters and they can't leave. And they don't realize that they're actually in the 20th century and there are vehicles and stuff like that. I think you have a community similar to that.
Okay.
And this girl... Or Sarah used to live in this community, and she has gone out, she has found a man, and she has told some people about it, and they've kind of worked their way into this community and stealing their pretty girls out from underneath them and taking
their
them
naive
back into
pretty
the
girls.
Taking them back into the real world.
Okay.
And so that's why you see this community freaking out. There's a couple things about this community that are odd. First of all, the church is, it's not a Catholic church, yet you do have a Catholic priest.
Yeah.
Preaching. The clothes don't match from one scene to the next, so they're definitely an older garb, whereas like the convenience store and the laundromat
more contemporary.
Is more modern.
Yeah.
They're just guys coming in and stealing their pretty naive women.
Interesting. I like that.
With vehicles that they've never seen before, because the only vehicles you see are the two of the guys that drive into town or when they're already out of town.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
This is her way of rescuing the girls in this community and getting them out.
Okay. So she's not, it's not just like, hey, these guys are predators and stealing
women. No. Yeah,
it's a rescue operation for this culty town.
Yes.
I like that. That's very positive.
That's the best I could do with it.
Yeah.
Because of the so many things that don't match.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make sense.
That's a good way to cover like all of those places. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I told you I had a lot of notes, mm-hmm. but that was why. I'm like, why is it that all these things don't make any sense?
Yeah.
Why is this preacher a priest and not a Southern Baptist preacher in a Southern Baptist church is what it looks like.
Sure.
It just doesn't make sense.
No.
So
I'm with it. I like that as well as anything else.
Okay. That is the best I could do.
Okay.
Now, obviously, that's not what this is.
It is. Why not? That's what it is. Yeah, sure. So let me mark all my stuff out. She's a little freak. I'm going to reiterate. Okay. I'll hit one of my theories and then I'll hit some notes because I know that was like the majority of your stuff.
That was
right?
The majority of it. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I came up with mine were all dark. Because I think maybe because the song is so positive and the video is fairly positive.
Yeah.
Like, I just tried to have some type of dark theme to it.
Okay.
So, why can't I think of it? Where are all of Stephen King's books set?
Oh.
Indiana?
That's...
Minnesota? Michigan?
I don't know.
So,
it's one of the northwestern cities.
It is. Well,
cities.
It is. This is Derry.
Okay.
From the movie It.
Okay.
So that's what this whole video is. Have you seen the newest versions of It?
The first one, not the second. There's two new
fine.
Ones, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen the first one,
that's
not
okay.
the second one.
You still get the idea. So in Derry, there's the clown, Pennywise.
Right.
And he does things aside from like eating the children, right? He basically poisons the town. And so as he comes out every number of years, like it's something like 30 years or 28 years or something like that. But everybody that's in the town, all the murders get forgotten because that's part of Pennywise's like aura. Like they don't investigate the missing children and the missing people as much because he makes you forget.
Okay.
That's part of it. And so I think what happens here is that it may be this gentleman that comes and gets her.
Okay.
So he's feeding on the children, which you kind of helped a little bit by explaining the time jump maybe.
Oh, okay.
I did not put that together except for the very end, but it may explain all the different times.
Okay.
So he comes, he woos this girl, even though he is like charismatic and tries to get you and he can shapeshift. It's usually into terrifying things, but for the sake of the video, we're just going to say it's an attractive boy.
Sure.
lures them away and then they vanish. The town like talks about it. It's a missing girl. And then they forget because, you know, the parents aren't really hysterical. Like, I know in the video context, it's, oh, she went off with her boyfriend. That mm-hmm. happens. But if a note is given and she just goes missing and you have no idea why, you would think the worst thing has happened to your daughter. They're not panicking.
No.
The church isn't panicking.
No.
The beauty shop isn't. This happens. And so if it isn't love, it is something that is being muted.
Sure.
They're not having the correct reaction to it because something is manipulating them.
Okay.
And so it is Pennywise the clown that comes back during these different time periods to get these young people to feed before he goes back to rest.
Okay. That's fair.
Is there a clown in this? No.
No. There's that reach again.
Yeah.
But it's fine, and it does... It incorporates all the time periods, not cohesively.
No.
But if you are saying there's a 30-year gap between his showing up, there's definitely 30 years worth of...
Times.
Yeah, times in this video. So I'm fine with it. I like it.
Cool. I think I maybe tied in something else. Comes here, hides again. Oh, I also put it like if... Because also Pennywise is kind of just eats the shit out of people for a while. He doesn't just eat one person.
Yeah, well, this is a pervy Pennywise.
A pervy Pennywise.
Only going after...
But I did put that if it wasn't... put my own slant on if he's not just eating the entire town. The town decides, and maybe this could be its own separate theory,
mm-hmm.
that she is a sacrifice. Like they all groom her whole life to be sacrificed. That's another reason why the town's not that shocked that she's gone. Hey, he's coming in this amount of time. Get her ready. And so she's in a whirlwind romance that the girls dream of. So we're going to say she's getting ready to be sacrificed, right?
Okay. Ooh, what if all of the young women are groomed? And the pastor makes a decision without anybody knowing. So they don't know who or when or,
maybe.
You know,
mm-hmm.
which person's going to show up to which house. They just know when that car shows up, you got to go.
Read me those numbers again.
41, 3, 19, 52, and 0.
Bingo. Sarah Evans is gone.
That's bingo? Is that
it's
what
bingo.
It is?
It's bingo to decide the child. Everyone's got a bingo card. You hit bingo, you're gone.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's good. Wow. Okay. It's a bingo board.
It's a bingo board for the sacrifice.
Yeah.
So getting away from it, getting away from the
so
clown.
Stupid. I'm so happy about it, though.
So if we get away from it, the clown, then it is just maybe it's crops or electricity, whatever reason she's still a sacrifice. Then on her last day that she might not know is her last day, then this boy is not an evil clown. It's just a boy, and a paid boy, to give her a whirlwind romance on her last day alive. Mm. So he comes and picks her up in this truck. He's in love with her. He takes her out to this new city she's never been to. Hey, marry me. Let's go run away together. At the end, she's dead.
And she doesn't have a clue about any of it. Correct. Because she's been groomed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I also put he's very nervous about it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to because he drops the lighter. He stalls at the laundromat. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't take your last... He's just trying to... He doesn't want to do it. He just knows he has to. And so he's doing all these weird little things that a normal date or person won't do because he doesn't want to do it, but he has to.
Yeah, I like this. And the pastor's or preacher or priest is having to tell the congregation which one mm-hmm. it was.
The news broke.
Yep. Oh, that's good. That's good. Well done. We're making this shit up as we go,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, that's okay. We're riffing.
But it's fine.
Okay. I want to point out one. Should I go? I'll save it for the end.
Okay.
Okay. We'll just underline it so I don't forget. I did want to point out the jar of eggs. What do you make of that scene? Pickled eggs, right?
Yeah, they're pickled eggs. I think, again, it's something... Well, okay, I don't know. It doesn't make sense mm-hmm. because if you're from a small little southern community that doesn't get out much, mm-hmm. pickled eggs is probably a thing.
Sure.
Right? So I don't know why they all act surprised when this guy eats one.
Right. If it's part of their culture, even the gas station guy's like, no, don't do that. Why are they there?
It's weird. And pickled eggs are delicious. So why is everybody freaking out about this? I don't get it.
I did note that they're in a jar that says smoked sausage.
Yeah.
You caught that too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just homemade pickled eggs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you reuse it, take it to the local gas station and let them sell them for 25 cents a piece. They're wonderful.
I was not expecting this defense.
Have you ever had pickled eggs?
Never will.
They're so good.
No, thanks. Mm. I don't like anything pickled.
See, though. And there's the problem. And that's where it does make sense, is they do have this stigma, I guess, of being nasty when most people haven't even tried them.
Well, it's a very British thing too, right?
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, they eat pickled eggs. Like, they just get them as a snack. Fair. But also, to your point, he eats it. She, the person in line behind them, and the clerk all react in disgust.
Yes.
So if it's a common thing, then where did they go? They went somewhere else.
Yeah. I don't know.
At the laundromat, why is he changing shirts?
Does he change his shirt?
Yeah. He starts in a green shirt. He changes into a blue shirt.
Is it showing time? Is this like the time next passes? Day?
Maybe. I don't know.
They're still on a road trip?
Or maybe like my only reasoning that
she's in a different dress.
Okay.
Because she's in a white dress in the beginning and then she's got like the blue floral.
So it's just a different day? They're just on the road?
Yeah, it's just a different day.
Yeah. Just traveling? Mm-hmm. Okay. The only reason I put him in a different shirt is because he put on that shirt and then proposed. So maybe he's in his work shirt, he changes into a nice shirt just as a formality. I'm going to propose.
Sure. I don't know.
Okay.
Probably more likely that they're just on the road for a couple of days and it's time to wash
their
clothes.
That makes more sense to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, maybe he gives her the week of her life as opposed to the day of her life.
Still kills her, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, she's still a goner.
Dead as hell. Okay. Any other little notes you got over there?
That is it, other than our normal minutiae stuff that we go through.
Then I'm going to get to my last incomplete theory, but possibly my favorite.
Okay.
I mean, let's complete it. Now, that dairy one, the it and the sacrifice, that was fun, and I had a good time, and it made it really nice. But here's one that I think has some validity to it.
Still dark.
Still dark.
Okay.
But not as dark as murder.
In a dark mood.
This video has something to do with drunk driving and alcoholism.
Hold on. Let me get there. Drunk driving and alcohol. Guys, he's brought in clowns, and there's no clowns. Okay? He's brought in murder, and there's no murder.
Uh-huh.
Now he's bringing in drinking, and there is no drinking. But how do we get there?
Okay.
Drunk driving. Just tell me. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. So he pulls up to the house in the white pickup.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So he is the drunk driver.
Okay.
He gets out. He's very over the top. Like, hey, come with me. Let's go, sweetheart. Like, let's get out of this town. He fumbles his lighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not flirting. He's drunk. Okay. And she is convinced to go.
Okay.
They hit the road and they go to the gas station, where what's more of a drunk action than eating something weird in front of people for attention?
Mm.
Very drunk behavior.
Yeah.
Right.
Fair.
So, and that's why. So they're not even really looking at the fact that he's eating the pickled egg, even though that is what they're doing. They're just like, this guy's fucked up.
Okay.
And she, even at that point, is like, you're being kind of obnoxious. Like, he shows it to her. He makes a big show of it at the cash register. And everybody's like, all right, dude, chill out.
Okay.
I'm going to go back into it. Okay. Also, it also ties into lyrics more for me, because suds in the bucket. Suds is another, like, having some suds. It's a term for alcohol. Okay. Let's see. Fumble slider. Suds in the bucket. Oh, another lyric that ties in is all the girls are drinking pink lemonade. So there's references to drinking, and the girls are in the salon, which they could be getting drunk. I don't know why the drink has to be pink lemonade other than regular lemonade.
Mm,
unless it's some type of reference to like a Cosmo or something.
Vodka lemonade.
Could be. Okay. Also, when it zooms, I have it written down, 155 timestamp. There's a like a mid-center shot on the wall. There's all those heads with the hairstyles. It's a salon.
Yeah. Okay.
But at that moment, there's a picture of the woman, and right beside her is another woman with a bottle on the picture.
Okay.
And it's probably a hair product, but it could be an alcohol bottle.
Okay.
Okay. And then it goes to the pickle egg, drunk behavior. And he changed his clothes because he, as he was driving or whatever they're doing, he got sick and had to stop and change his clothes.
Okay.
And then at the end, when we see the husband, she's showing how proud she is of him because he got sober. Not because she loves him. Also because he loves him.
Okay.
But because, hey, look, sobriety. And what else, what's in the background of all these shots? Three Sheets to the Wind is drunk.
Okay. Listen, you've convinced me. It's about drinking. Yeah, that's what it is.
There's an argument.
The amount of work that you had to put in to get all three of these theories... All right, I don't know how many times you watched it.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of effort.
The preacher's also drunk. That's why he's so weird.
Yeah,
he's fair. Just fucked up. Yeah.
It's fair. Yeah, a bunch of drunks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it, actually.
Okay.
You know what finished it for me? Her showing her husband at the end, and you saying him beating, like, sobriety. Like, uh-huh. That's what seals it.
Because it kind of feels like that?
It does. It feels like a very proud woman of her man.
It does.
Why is she so proud of him?
Yes. Sobriety.
So it's good. That kind of ties it all together.
One more for you.
Okay.
Their relationship, he was an alcoholic. So.
Yeah, he may have had like
a little moment.
A little moment of. Yeah. So that's why you brought up all that. So good mm-hmm. job today. Mm-hmm. You are starting to sound like an expert. It's kind of crazy.
Expert at making stuff up, man.
Yeah, it's good. You did really good. I'm actually very proud of that. So
also, two well things done. That I just made up was the sheets in the wind. I just made it up.
But it works so good.
You could have seen the thought. I saw it and I was like, when you see it hit me, I'm like, I got it.
Yeah, three sheets to the wind. Yeah, no, I like that. That's your best one. The other ones are silly.
They're silly.
But that one...
There's something to the drunk
one. It's not necessarily dark, because it does
mm-hmm.
end up in a good light.
Yeah.
With sobriety at the end. So that's my favorite one. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like that one. I like that one better than mine.
I do like yours, though. That was pretty good. So let's point at the husband again, because, you know, real life husband, who could look like they were more uncomfortable in a video?
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure.
He hated every second.
I think he was appreciative of the thought, but definitely not comfortable in front of the camera.
Did you ever watch Tim and Eric?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? Do you know who Tim Heidecker is? Ah, okay. Mm-mm. Damn, I was really hoping you got that. If you're at home, he reminds me of Tim Heidecker. It's a very, like, he's like a cringe comedy guy who's just like, oh, I'm here. Like, he has that vibe of like, I'm doing this for you, sweetie. Like, can we get this done with? And she does look absolutely in love with him.
It's a very cute moment in the video.
It is cute, but it also lends me to believe that she's a little crazy.
Sure.
Like, absolutely crazy, and he's taking it because she's a sex fiend.
Yeah. Okay. Wouldn't you?
Okay. All right. So that's all I got, man. That's all my all notes.
Right. Well, let's get into our little minutiae. And guys, I realize we're moving pretty quickly through this episode, but we're going to cover everything that we normally do. Yep. So best part is acting. What's first? Acting.
Yeah.
Acting. I put good.
She's great.
Yeah.
She got me through this video. I did not, when I watched the first time, I was like, here we go, some literal nonsense. But she's charismatic enough, and it flows fine, and got through it.
Yeah, so I it's good.
Yeah,
it's not the greatest I've ever seen, but it is perfectly fine.
She brings you back. Yeah,
even all the other actors, they do a good job considering what they're shooting
and the time period. Like, it makes sense, but she does get you through it. Also, we didn't get your one sentence summation.
Oh, I'll take boring country music videos for 800, Trebek.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that's not completely how I feel about it. It's not the most boring music video.
No, it's not.
It's shot fine.
Yeah.
It has a good story. It's fine to watch.
Yeah.
It's got what you want in a normal music video.
And our wives love it.
The reason I complain about these music videos is they're hard for me to cover.
Yeah.
That's it. But you did such a good job with it. I think I am going to have to do what you normally
do. The score.
I'm going to have to change my score
a
little bit because of how you covered it.
Okay.
That's strictly it.
I'll take it, man. I'll take it. So acting, we're okay with everybody.
Yeah, everybody was good.
Mistakes.
One could be a mistake.
All right.
At 2 minutes 59 seconds, when you see her kind of shimmying around in the church and the doorways are behind her, you see the paved road and a red maroon, looks like a Murano or something, drive by. Now, it definitely doesn't work for the time period, but again, who cares?
A car just drove by.
Yeah, car drove by. It's not a big mistake or anything.
If they were going for a time period, it messes that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
But, fine with me.
You know, the time's all over the place anyway, so it's not a real mistake.
I didn't catch anything except for the eggs or in the smoked sausage.
Which is normal, too.
Yeah, that's just country shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they go together? Yeah.
I mean,
they have to.
Like,
have to go
more than any other video we've ever covered.
It's just exactly lyric for lyric. Like, what's happening?
Even with the Dierks Bentley one, that it didn't match up 100%. There was a lot of weird little things in there that didn't go with. No, this is perfectly matched up. Perfectly matched up to the song.
Okay.
What's next? I can't read right now.
Favorite part and least favorite part?
Favorite part is the pickled egg scene at 2:20. I love that scene.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Interesting.
Because it is how people have reacted when I've eaten a pickled egg, I guess, before.
You related to the video. Okay.
But the other one is at 3:15, and that's when you see the husband. I think it's adorable.
Okay.
I love it.
Huh.
I love that she made it personal.
Really? Okay. So we'll just see. All right. So my favorite part is anytime she's in the barn looking over her shoulder doing that little bop, I'm like, God.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit. Okay.
Best part, not horniest part.
That's the thing. That's the crazy thing about this video. It's not horny at all.
It's not meant to be.
It's not. But that's why it is. She's so chaste.
Yeah.
Okay. Or points at the husband, but it's my favorite part because of how uncomfortable and real it is.
Okay.
It's not because it's cute. It's because he's like,
oh. I think it's adorable.
Okay. Fine. We have the same favorite part for very different reasons. All right. Least favorite part.
I don't have one. I don't have a worst part. Like, there's not a bad part of the video.
Interesting. Okay. So, not a weird angle, not a weird line.
I have my best, I have everything else, but my worst part is I don't have one.
I
there's
can
nothing
that.
That made me cringe.
Okay. I had to dig for my part.
Okay.
But I knew it when I saw it. It's at 3:55. It's when she's holding the note at the very last note, long one, and she does like this. And it looks like she's so overdoing the video. Like, she drops her whole, cheerfulness. It was almost like an outtake that she was just hitting the note for fun at the very end. And she's just, like, sitting there like, ugh, here we go again.
Okay.
So, you'll see it. 3:55. Yeah,
I'll have to look for it. Okay. Didn't catch that the first time. So,
okay.
Yeah, that may be another point in its favor, that nothing made me go...
Yeah, that is an interesting thought. We've never had that.
I don't think so.
Since we've been doing this part.
No, I always find something that I don't like. But here, there was nothing that just stuck out in my head. Like, that's not necessary. You don't need that. Or that's cringeworthy. That just wasn't there.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Which is better? Song.
Song.
Yeah,
definitely
the song. I'm not a young woman who leaves her suds in the bucket, but or I can relate. I can feel it. You know, I get how this could really affect a young girl and like really make them look forward to life.
Sure.
Now, I have another meta theory that I was saving for the very end.
We're not done yet. Which one was better?
The song.
Oh, no. Would You Music Video Night with Sarah Evans.
Yeah, and me and you'd probably wrestle about it, too.
And what would you change? Wrestle. I'd win that.
Yeah, back then, if we were young when the video came out.
If we were playing racquetball or something, you'd have a chance. You'd destroy me, but wrestling? Why would you
get that? Yeah, there's not a lot of things that you can win a woman with racquetball. Unless it's at like the senior community center, I don't think I'm gonna. Okay. What did you just ask?
Would
I music?
What would you change?
Yes. What would I change? Yeah, I would change a few things. I want to see more of their things that showcase a romance, like not going to the store for a pickled egg. Like the way they choose to show they're running away together is very weird. They go to a pickled egg store and the laundromat.
Okay. The only thing I put is that if this is their story, mm-hmm. make it even more personal. So make them act throughout the video.
Oh, those two.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was thinking if you want to make it more personal, that could literally be why they picked such weird things is because that's what they went through.
Yeah, maybe.
That would make the most sense.
But give me more of them.
Okay.
That's the only thing I would say.
More of them. Wow, you were really taken by their relationship.
I was.
They're in the middle of a porn addiction, alcohol-fueled marriage.
You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it.
Interesting. Yeah. But also, like, most of the time, if they are already together, this almost makes it seem like they don't really know each other. Because they don't touch, they don't, the actors, I mean.
Okay.
Like, they don't seem to be in a relationship.
Right.
So if they're running away together, they should be more in love.
Yep.
And they're
not. Make it more personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was okay. My only note.
Take it away. Yeah, like I just said.
Yeah. That was my only note, but you know, it's really not bad either.
I think we, that part right there when she's just like, she's like, it's just silly. Okay.
Okay.
Now my final theory, Travis, and it ties it all together with Dierks Bentley and Peter Zavadil. This is her point of view for What Was I Thinking?
So I remember one of the theories was chasing, evidence towards a murder or right during that video that we covered, right? Because he had pictures and just random little things. Is that where you're going with this?
No, I was just going to say the actual meaning of what was I thinking? Like, he just comes and picks up and they escape. Yeah, this is just her side of it.
Oh, well, this could be a continuation as well, couldn't it?
Yeah, they actually end up staying together when they get away. So if you combine these two videos, it's one perfect video.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But I do like the murder theory from another, like two theories tying together. First time that's happened.
Exactly.
Ooh. Okay.
And the songs are about the same thing.
Yeah. Just
running away with a young girl.
Yeah. It's just her point of view and his.
Yeah.
Okay.
They could do it together.
That's very the meta. Good. That's the meta.
That is the meta. That is definitely the meta.
All right. Now we've come to all of our ratings and scores here.
Mm-hmm. Can I change mine?
Not yet. Because I want to hear your first and stuff too. I want to hear all of it.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. Also, we got to have a nonsense score. Would this, what, is this a whiskey? Is this, are we doing shots of whiskey or is it like your a pint of Evan Williams or is it three scoops of Tide?
PBR.
PBRs?
Yeah, it's definitely a PBR video.
Okay. Okay. Is that what you're rating it? How many PBRs?
16. 16 PBRs.
Well, that's too many. It's just simply too many PBRs.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I'm going to say 4 PBRs and 2 L'Oreal box hair dyes.
Okay. Fair enough.
I remember, Travis, we're going to hit a real personal. Are you in super meta hurry? I can't see what time it is. Oh, you're
no,
good.
It's... Yeah,
listeners, so this was when we were 2004, maybe 2005. Uh-huh. One time at AJ's house, we all bought as many. I think we bought 2 cases of beer when we were having a contest to see you could have the most beers in a night.
Ooh.
Do you remember that? Do you remember how many we had?
Two cases.
We bought 2 cases.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all I remember.
I remember from that night.
Oh, good. You're going to have to tell me because I don't remember. I remember 2 cases.
We had several people coming in another night. So two cases.
I remember I was very competitive back then.
Yes. So that's 48 beers, right? Two cases. Yeah. Okay. And we had people coming over to, it was kind of like a party. Mm-hmm. And so by the end of the night, I remember exactly because I had 11.
Okay.
You had 12 and AJ had 12.
Really?
You so guys tied. Tied? Yeah. And the only reason I had 11 is because when we got to that many, the rest were gone. So I could not tie because the people had finished the rest
so
of our beers.
So we drank 35 beers mm-hmm. out of the 48 that mm-hmm. we had.
And
wow.
13 went away.
That's terrible. I should have rated this 12.
Yeah. Yeah. 12 beers. And it would have been 2 years after this video. A year after this video. Was yeah. it? Might have been the same year as this video.
Might have been the same year as this video.
So that's a personal life tie-in.
That's good. I can't believe you remember that.
Oh, I remember because it stuck with me because I was like, I didn't win, and I only lost because I couldn't tie.
Fair.
So yeah. it's not, but it's good to know that it did not stand in your head as him as me losing.
No. Yeah, no.
That makes me feel better. Okay.
No, I know AJ could put them away. So yeah. I was like, we probably both lost to AJ is what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, but. You tied 12 okay. and 11.
Nice.
That's a lot of beers.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah,
that's
fine with me. But probably lightweight for considering a lot of people, but we're small.
Oh, I mean, we were
18.
We were
literally 18.
Yeah, like we didn't drink that much.
All right. So, Travis, I'm going to guess your score, your original score.
Okay.
I put 3.49.
No, my original was a 4.71.
Okay. All right, so... I'm still keeping that guess. So you're original, but I'm not even going to write that down as zero because you are allowed to change it.
Okay, I'm changing it.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a... this may be too generous. 6.01.
Okay.
6.01.
Okay.
I think you convinced me, and me thinking about how I couldn't find anything that I hate about it.
Mm-hmm.
It deserves a 6. It's above average.
You talked yourself into it.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt to watch. It's not like the Dierks Bentley. The Dierks Bentley video was so choppy.
Actively painful.
It gave you a headache to watch it. Mm-hmm. This is fine. It transitions nicely. The lighting is good. She's great to look at. I'm okay with it. 6.01.
Okay. That works.
I guessed you at a 4.17.
1.7. I was a 4.68.
Okay. I was close.
The reason is because the opposite of what me and you were talking about right now. This video was so fun to talk about and to cover, and I had an easy time finding these theories. It wasn't like a crazy leap for any of them.
That's crazy to me.
But it is just, at the end of the day, fine.
Yeah.
It's none of that stuff is there. We reached for all of it.
We did.
And The reason it gets as high as it does for me, the 4.68, is because it's competent. Like, all the things you just said, it's competent, it's easy to watch. I feel like I'm watching a music video. It feels like the time period.
Yeah.
So all of those things are going for it, which makes it average. The only reason that I put slightly below average is because it's just too literal, and there's not really anything that makes it more special than my flat 5.
Yeah, I think the only thing that elevates it over that 5 is the fact that nothing matches. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they had made this a 100% period piece, then it would be boring. And then it would also make more sense, but it would be way more boring.
Okay.
The fact that everything is so different and weird and the timelines don't match and the people are acting, they're overacting.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
They're overacting.
So it's definitely more intriguing than what I would call a 5.
Okay.
Just a plain Jane video.
I do think a 6.01, for some reason, 6 is just too much for me.
I can't unsee your theories now.
Yeah.
Like, every time I watch it, there are 12 theories going through. Now, if I go study this, I can find 15.
Okay.
You know?
Save
whereas
for next
I count
episode.
One.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not going to. But, but I could.
That's fine. I just, it doesn't, because when you said 6, I was like, if you put it 5.99, I would still be like, yeah.
I get what you're saying. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, it's your fault. You did it.
Fine.
So, hey, yeah.
I'll take the praise.
Yeah.
You were like right by me. What would you,
I was.
4. What?
7.1 was what I was originally
going
to say.
And score. I was a 4.68. We were dead at each other.
Yeah.
You
changed my mind.
So, well, cool. This was a fun one still. I had much better time than I thought I was when I picked it. You did too.
Yeah, way better time. I was so depressed. I was like, man, And I was very proud of myself for the theory I did come up with, because let me tell you, it was sixth or seventh time watching it that I finally came up with the theory. So,
okay.
Yeah, I got something.
Now, we come to a weird spot. We don't know.
We don't know what we're covering next.
What is supposed to be next? How about that? It might not be. Is 1985 Bowling for Soup.
Okay.
Which is your pick. So that could end up happening. It might not. We'll just see. We told you, if you want to know what all the videos were covering, we covered it in the opening.
Yeah.
So you can go back and just see what's on the menu.
They're all from 2004. So, yeah. I mean, it's in there. We don't know what we're going to do next, but it's fun that we're going to leave it a surprise for you. Yeah, so thanks for listening. Guys, go follow us on all our socials. We've told you about them 1,000 times. Check out our TikToks. Jared's been putting in a shit ton of work to make those really good. So yeah, go give us a like, comment, subscribe, all those good things that help us out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's it. Thanks for listening. That's Jared.
That's Travis.
Peace.
Goodbye.
Listeners, today we have a special interview for you. Our second time with this interviewee, I guess we would call him.
He's a director, yeah.
Yeah, he directed Sarah Evans' Suds in the Bucket video. You know him as Peter Zavadil, a.k.a. Sizzle Chest. Welcome, Peter, and thank you for joining us again for another interview.
I forgot about that story. Hey, how are you guys doing? It's good to be talking again.
Yeah.
I'm flattered that you have chosen another one of my videos. So
absolutely.
So
almost 2 years since we had you, and your videos are 1 year apart. So we're just progressing naturally, I think. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, that was, I did the math, I kind of looked back, and that record was released in August of the record that Suds in the Buck was on was released in August of 23, so I'm pretty sure we shot that the summer of 2003, so that's it, not 23, but 2003, so that is a 20-year-old video, but yeah, it kind of surprised me how that was quite a way back. Ways back. So
listeners, we just covered this video, and just a little bit in case you don't remember Peter Zavadil, he has over 176 music videos, all country music, I think. Don't hold me to that.
For the most part, yes, country was the genre.
He's won a CMA award for Video of the Year 2 times. And once of those with our with Sarah Evans, the music video "Born to Fly."
Yes,
we have a big star on our hands today, and we got a lot of questions for you.
Thank you, I appreciate it, guys.
I think this is you are our I guess first person we've covered two videos and got to talk about two separate videos with. One for Sarah Evans. Tell us about how y'all got involved with each other, how many videos you did. Tell us a little bit of y'all's history before you got to this video.
Historically speaking, I had just started my career. I'd been a producer for some time in Nashville, producing country music videos, and I'd always wanted to direct. And Sarah was Born to Fly was my first big video. And it was one of those things where, I don't know if you're familiar with the song, but it was one of those things where the first line of the song is, you know, I've been telling my dream to the scarecrow, and I'm like immediately went, oh, we need to do like, Wizard of Oz parody. So that was a big strike. And, you know, it was extremely ambitious at the time, and Sarah immediately connected with it. And, you know, obviously that went on to really put her on the map, won a CMA award for Music Video of the Year. And that was kind of the beginning of a long and continued relationship. I don't even count how many videos we've done together, probably over a dozen. Not ironically, but coincidentally, we just shot two music videos this summer. She's on a new record label, and we just did two music videos this summer together. We did one for a song called Pride, and another one for 21 days. And you know, kind of continued this sort of ongoing relationship where, you know, Pride was more of an emotional kind of piece, and 21 Days is more like what I call our Suds in the Bucket kind of vibe, which is a little more of that tongue-in-cheek kind of humor thing. So the funny part is I just did a podcast with her. She's got her own podcast. And we just did a podcast, and one of our big jokes is it seems like every video I've done with Sarah, I put her in some form of harm or danger, or I almost set her on fire. She almost got bit by a baby rattlesnake. The Born to Fly, we were blowing all this hay around to simulate the tornado, and we found out that she's allergic to hay. And so it seems like every time we've done a job together, there's been some, you know, wild circumstance behind it, but Born to Fly has a few nuggets of humor involved in it. But you know, that time when we shot that video, you know, country music clearly has evolved quite a bit over the years, and music videos back there, you know, sort of late late 90s heading into the 2000s. I think there was a little more of a kind of what I call goofy humor aspect to it, you know. I kind of did a lot more sort of tongue in cheek kind of, kind of more exaggerated acting and casting. It was a fun era, you know. Like a good example of another video of this nature was we did Blake Shelton's Some Beach, and same kind of thing where it's a little tongue-in-cheek, you know, the characters are exaggerated, there's, you know, little Easter eggs kind of hidden into the pieces. So it was a fun time, you know. I mean, I think country music has gotten a lot more what I would call kind of pop or more mainstream oriented, so it seems like a lot more of the work that we do now is much more, you know, intense or darker or more edgy, you know. So there's less of that kind of. I will say, if you want to look at, you know, we still kind of played around, like the 21 Days video that we just shot this summer is a good example of it. There still can be that more goofy kind of stuff, which I think which I enjoy doing. So I like humor. I mean, I love drama, but I love humor too.
Well, and you appear to be the king of goofy videos. I mean, you've worked with, you know, Jeff Foxworthy, Bill Engvall, Blake Shelton, exactly, like you said, Brad Paisley, and they're known for those kind of goofier videos. And
exactly,
what a testament to you that she continues to work with you after you've tried to kill her several times.
Exactly. I agree. You know, but I will say that we've developed, and I think she feels the same way, we've really developed a deep bond. So it's more, I mean, there's, I guess, for lack of a corny term, we're sort of like family. We're like brother and sister in a lot of ways because we have been through so much thick and thin. And it's one of those things where there's a sort of trust and a sort of, you know, sort of personal approach to it, because, you know, she is completely receptive to whatever direction, and the fact that we kind of co-develop a lot of this work now. For example, the two we shot this summer, you know, there was a really collaborative aspect to it that I think she knows that I know what she wants. So there's the trust factor, and that kind of bond, I think, is really deep, you know? It is cool to kind of continue the relationship. I've said this to her, I've said it many times. I mean, I would walk through hell in a gasoline suit for her, because she's done so much for my career. And I think the feeling is reciprocal, you know? So yeah, heck yeah. But besides, in the Bucket was a blast. I mean, I just did a review of it, and I forgot how much stuff is going on in that video, you know.
It's a lot.
What kind of questions? Any theories? I mean, what is, I'm curious to get your guys' impression, looking at it, you know, 20 years later, what surfaces when, as you view it?
So we, since our last interview, we've done quite a few. I think we just passed our 100th episode, so we are a little better at it now, I think, than we were back in the day. I know it's only been like 2 years, but it feels 20 on watching some of these videos.
Yeah, I hear you.
So
There's a couple that we hit that were kind of fun, and then one that we even came up with some together, but one of them was that I think we looked it up. It was Derry, Maine is where I believe – or Maine is where Stephen King writes all his novels. So we kind of combined something where that Sarah Evans is was or is kind of describing a Pennywise scenario where the town decides that she is going to be sacrificed, but first gets to have a day out in the town with this boy.
That's a pretty good one. I mean, it is sort of a nightmarish kind of a scenario for sure. I mean, there's escapist, but like I said, there's also, you know, sort of dread because, you know, our boyfriend, our love interest is a bit on the scary, kind of creepy, incompetent side. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So one of the reasons we can touch on an interesting fact that I don't know, again, you can kind of put us in the time and place here. One of the reasons we hit on the Pennywise thing, and maybe another one of our theories, is that you can't really put a time period on this video because it jumps around.
True.
So you can't, there's no cell phones, and there's certain things that are only in certain times. So, you know, Pennywise only comes out every certain amount of years. But aside from that, what... do you have a setting, or when was the time that you were trying to place it, or did you purposely make it broad?
It was definitely sort of a decision to go a little more timeless or retro, I guess you're right, is a good way to put it. And I think some of that was inspired by the way Sarah wanted to approach her styling on it. And some of the locations that I found, that old church, which is long gone, was, you know, to me, at the moment I saw that church, I'm like, this has got that old kind of retro feel. And then, you know, when she starts singing about the girls in the beauty shop, you know, to me, I wanted to go, oh yeah, this is more of that, you know, 50s, 60s gossipy, you know, kind of thing. So yeah, it kind of evolved into, you know, kind of a period piece just by all the pieces as they started coming together and the styling, her styling and just the approach to it as well, you know, the approach to the narrative, you know. So yeah, I think Pennywise, yes, that's a good analogy, because there are, you know, different, it seems like the time is uncertain, or the period is uncertain. So I'll buy that part of my theory.
So that was one of two movies that we incorporated into our theories for this one. The other one was The Village, which is an M. Night Shyamalan,
The Village.
Yeah.
And again, it was because of the time period. You couldn't place it. So we were saying that maybe they were stuck in a 50s, 60s area, and like elders wouldn't let them out of the community.
That's good. Yeah, you know, I should have had a fence in there somewhere, you know, and get some of the elders dressed up as werewolves or whatever.
Exactly.
That would have been really good. Damn! If I could go reshoot some scenes, that would really be awesome. And we need to get Pennywise like in a drain cellar or something somewhere.
So
I love that, but I do buy into that fact that this is, you know, basically kind of a horror film in disguise for certain, you know what I mean? You know, and then the parents, you know, one of the things I looked at, you know, was the way I kind of directed the mom and the dad when they find out she's leaving, that sort of weird, drained, haunted, in shock kind of thing, you know what I mean? So there are definitely elements, and, you know, the preacher going off, you know, like kind of, no, I think there's definitely a Stephen King horror element to all this. So love it. I'll buy it. So I'll say, yes, you win the prize. You are absolutely right. That was totally my intention. So
the real question is there a hidden meaning that we did not get, or is it just in fun and basically what we're seeing on the screen?
I would definitely say that it was, of course, done in fun. I mean, you know, we have that old saying. I have a director, a friend of mine, who talks about country music. You know, you kind of do that Here Truck, Z Truck, you know? So yeah. There is an element to that because it does follow the narrative of the song. So there are, it does kind of, you know, we go from the mom getting the note. I mean, literally she's reading the note as she's singing it in the song. And, you know, we kind of follow that. But I think there are, you know, and from a subtext point of view, I think I was also trying to say, like, well, you know, running away isn't necessarily always the best thing, especially, you know, her love interest, you know, sort of portrayed as this a little bit sleazy, kind of incompetent, you know, sort of guy. So there is, like I said, there is some darker elements to it, you know, and sort of playing up the gossips in the beauty shop, you know, kind of like that sort of, you know, that sort of small town sort of drama, you know, like how, you know, it's not just her running off with the guy. The story is more about the impact it has on the community, you know what I mean? So I mean, I think there are some darker points to it as well, but I do lean a little more towards the lighthearted aspect to it. You know, it was definitely being played for laughs. I think I can't deny that. And like I said, looking back on it, I did find myself kind of giggling a little bit. For example, you know, one of the scenes that I thought was kind of fun, but, you know, once again, kind of weird is, you know, when they go into the convenience store and he eats the weird egg, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's funny because, speaking of other bands I've worked with, I did a Black Keys video. One of the first videos I did for the Black Keys was a song called Your Touch. And there was a scene with an egg and a sort of weird convulsive element to it. So eggs to me sometimes can be weird symbols, you know, especially eggs in a jar on the counter, you know, that you reach in and pull out with your own hand. And another, you know, Easter egg, another thing that we did with Sarah's work is we always tried to sneak her brother into it. And her brother played in her band. He's a sweetheart of a guy, but he plays in her band. And he is the guy behind the counter selling the egg to the dude. So that's actually – and that was, I think, his maybe second or third appearance because he played the Scarecrow character in Born to Fly. So it just kind of became a tradition to figure out how to sneak Matt into every video.
He paid.
He's kind of one of her reappearing characters, one of our little Easter eggs, you know what I mean? Every once in a while, there was always some little in-joke, you know. For example, Blake Shelton, you know, the Some Beach video I referenced, there's a scene where he goes in to get dental work, and the guy who's the creepy doctor who's doing the dental work is actually his producer and kind of famous songwriter in Nashville. So we, you know, there's always those little, you know, kind of tongue in cheek Easter eggs, inside joke Easter eggs that we always pulled on that stuff. You know, and another, I don't know if I would call it an Easter egg, but another one that and it's kind of funny how sometimes you put these in the video and then, you know, 20 years later you go the guy at the end where she's singing and she's kind of putting her arms around him is her husband at the time, Shelsky, I can't remember his first name, but whom many years later, not that many years later, she had a sort of traumatic divorce from. And it was happening while she was doing the Dancing with the Stars show. And I can't remember the particulars of it, but I remember that, you know, there was a fidelity issue with his world. And so she pursued a divorce, and sort of it came right in the middle while she was doing Dancing with the Stars. So she basically bowed out of the show. And I remember when it was all happening, you know, that kind of flash of drama, and I was on a plane flying back from the job, and I got home, and there were like three or four phone calls from like CNN and New York Times, they want all the dirt because one of the videos that we did that was happening right around that time was a video for a song called Cheating. So of course, they're looking for anything. It's like, oh, here's a music video about her singing about cheating, and look up the director. Let's call him and see if we can get some. So it's like one of those things where you get kind of assaulted by the press.
Here's an interesting thing that we kind of got into. So normally we don't really research the artist that much. But like for her, we did kind of get into that story about the divorce because I found some subconscious things on her part or your part talking about it. And maybe because you knew each other, it came to light a little bit on accident. So I did have this video as an analogy for alcoholism.
This one
you got to get a little more specific on. So like it matches most closely with the lyrics. So, suds is another term for drinking, having a beer. When he gets out of the car, he fumbles his lighter.
He's intoxicated, drinking and driving. Oh, my God.
Exactly. And then when he gets to the gas station, eating an egg out of that jar is pretty drunk person behavior.
When the sheets are...
She's putting the clothes on the line, three sheets to the wind is drunk. And then to the laundromat, he's changing his shirt because he got sick.
Yeah, and they were washing it because he threw up on himself.
And then at the end, we were trying to finagle it into where, she is pointing at her real husband, but we were saying, like, maybe this is him at the end of his journey getting sober. Like, so she's proud of his sobriety.
Right. He's cleaned up. So, I will say that we did try and cast the girl to look like a young Sarah. You know what I mean? So that's pretty good. And he does, young alcoholic does look a little bit like old alcoholic. So that does fit pretty good.
One more thing, and you brought it up. So it was literally in my notes to talk to you about because I've watched so many of your music videos. And the one that sticks out the most is Your Touch by the Black Keys. It is that I've seen. Now, I haven't seen all 180,000 of your videos, but it is definitely one of my favorite videos of yours. It is not at all literal to the music. It is a different thing altogether. And I kind of wanted to bring it up a little bit. And I told Jared, I was like, I'm going to bring up a music video that you haven't seen yet. But, it's definitely off the path of what you normally do. And I just wanted to say, it is one of my favorite videos that I've seen.
Yeah, that was a blast to shoot. I mean, the thing is that, most of the time when you write, you want to write to appeal to the artist and what they're looking for. So there's a tendency to sometimes go a little more conventional. It's like every time people always go out there with your idea, go out there with your idea. And then I get a call from the label and go, what the hell were you thinking? This is insane. We can't do this. So, you kind of have to play within the lines. Now, the thing I will say about the Black Keys is they do not think within the lines. I remember when we first started talking about it, management connected me with them and I had a couple of ideas. One of the ideas was two little old ladies, chasing down the guys and trying to run them over. They're just trying to run them down. So the whole thing is about the guys trying to get away from these two old ladies who are driving this old car trying to run them down. And the guys are like, nah. And they go, what? Because they just think really obtuse. And the whole inspiration for that video was, what if we die at the beginning of the video? What if we get killed at the beginning of the video? And I was like, oh, like shot, So, and they let me take it off from there. So it was like one of those ones where they just let me think, outside the box. And it sort of became this Eggman sort of, and, I was sort of inspired by the album cover of that record. It was basically a, Fabergé egg. And I'm like, well, what if this kid crashes his egg and he basically infects people? And so, I mean, all the people in that video, we shot that in their hometown. And this was, of course, back before the Black Keys were huge. So, we used all of, I think that kid was like their road manager's kid son, and we used friends of theirs. So everybody in that video was basically, you know, non-professional actors and, you know, shoestring projects. So, you know, and I get so many compliments from that piece. And after it hit and the song went big, I mean, I got calls from a lot of people, you know, soliciting treatments and stuff. And, you know, one of those things where sometimes, you know, the little jobs become big successes. You know what I mean? So, that was a really fun one.
So the very first episode that we ever did on this podcast was a Black Keys song, and that kid is also in that video. He's been recycled. But yeah, and he's phenomenal too at that. I don't want to get too much into the weeds, because I have a feeling we're going to cover that video one day, and we're going to call you about it as well.
I've got great stories on that one. We'll save that for another day. Absolutely. But, you know, one thing I did want to note on the Sarah piece that is kind of a thing where you don't really realize it until you look at it again. And that is, you know, Sarah and I, by that point, by the time we were doing Suds in the Bucket, we'd become pretty good buds. We'd become really good friends. And Sarah, you know, we talked about this look, this kind of retro kind of, you know, Dust Bowl kind of look with the curly hair, which I think she looks gorgeous in that video. I mean, she is so gorgeous. I mean, I think it's just one of her best looking, playful, beautiful Sarah stuff.
We agree.
So she called me a couple of days before the job and said, I need to talk to you about something, but this is a big secret. You can't tell anybody. You can't tell the record label. You can't, because you know, I haven't told anybody yet. And I'm only telling you this because I want you to consider it while we're shooting the video. And I'm like, going, oh my God, what is this going to be? I can't tell the label, because they're the people that I'm contracted with. They're the people that pay me. So, you know, it's like kind of like going, okay. You know, so, and she said, I haven't told anybody this, but I'm pregnant. I'm like, what? Okay.
You had us on the edge of your seat, and Jared was sitting here thinking that's what it was.
Yeah, so she's like, I'm pregnant, and I'm really concerned that I'm starting to show a bump. And she said, so if you can at all try and shoot this video without really revealing my stomach, I would really appreciate that. And I can totally understand, because she didn't want to look fat. You know what I mean? I mean, this is basically weight gain, justified weight gain, obviously. So if you look at the video, all that stuff where she's standing, you know, where it's head to toe, whenever we cut to her, her back is turned and she's looking over her shoulder, which is a sexy look, but it wasn't just a sexy look. It was done on purpose. And, you know, because I didn't want the label to think about it, it's like, oh, Sarah, when you turn over your shoulder and you look like that, that's really sexy, man. So when we were doing all the wide stuff, basically any footage I would use from that wide shot was when she looks over her shoulder from her back. And I think there's one shot where she's kind of leaning over, so it sort of shadows her stomach, so you can't really read it. But then you look at the rest of the video, and she's either sitting because she's sitting in the beauty parlor. She's sitting in the church, you know, with her back turning, looking over her shoulder at the camera. So, you know, basically, I thought we did a pretty good job of concealing the secret without.
Sure. So that is something that, like, now that you've said it, you can't not see it. And it actually makes me a little ashamed that we didn't catch it.
So ashamed. So mad that we did not catch this. And we always say we're not experts, and then we kind of brag about how good we're getting. This is a big setback.
Yeah. We did also comment on, like, her, like, looking over the shoulder, and, like, it's, like, unusual, but it is really pretty for her. It's, like, good shots of her. But it all, and, like, she's hid by the pews and the washer. Yeah, that's good. You did a good job.
You're literally hiding you're hiding her stomach behind the washboard when she's sitting down doing the laundry.
Exactly. That was all kind of like, I'm thinking, what kind of things can I do to, you know, kind of conceal this? And you know, with Craig, when she's doing this stuff at the end and she's standing up with Craig, he's kind of passing in front of her. And so I thought, you know, like I said, we had the good fortune of managing to incorporate a secret challenge into something that I don't think anybody picked up on until later. And then, you know, when we did the confession a couple of months later to the video commissioner and the head of the label, they're like, okay, pretty good. You know, you should have told us, but I'm like, because, you know, I mean, I can, you know, one of the things that's tough about being an artist on a record label, especially if you're, you know, you're known for, you know, attractive, you know, beauty is, you know, pregnancy. You know what I mean? It's like, sure, yeah. how do you manage that kind of image? And also have the large family that Tara has here as a big family, you know, and gorgeous kids. I mean, my gosh, gorgeous kids. A funny part is we actually used her daughter in the new one for Pride. And the young, you know, sort of takes place in a strip club, but the young stripper pole dancer is actually Sarah's daughter. So, so we continue to incorporate her family into the work, but she's got beautiful, lovely kids, and it's wild to know them from infancy up to now, you know, playing sexy stripper in a music video.
And the name of that video is Pride, you said?
It's called Pride. It just came out a month or two ago, so she plays basically a younger version. Her daughter plays Audrey plays a younger version of Sarah. So hopefully it'll kind of make sense if you see the video. But once again, it's I think she's done a really incredible job of balancing, you know, love and a big family with, you know, a career, a long and successful career in country. So, yeah. There you have it.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts or theories that I can laugh about? I think both of your theories, the Stephen King Shyamalan concept, I think is really pretty interpretive and pretty spot on. And I also think that the drinking or the alcoholism kind of subject is pretty solid too. So keep it up. however you're interpreting stuff, it's the symbolism is spectacular. So
now, last time we put you on the spot, and you've had 2 years to prepare. what videos should we cover? It doesn't have to be of yours. Anything that you would like do yourself, or something you think would be cool to cover on the show?
I would say, definitely that Black Keys video. Your Touch is such a great. That's such a. There's so many good stories behind that one. And I think you know, I brought up that Blake Shelton video for Some Beach. That's if you're looking for funny haha, that's a pretty good one. And I also think we did a one that's got a lot of great stories called Goodbye Time that I'm super proud of. And then I think, you know, the another good one would be Celebrity, Blab Paisley Celebrity, you know, the one we did after I'm Gonna Miss Her, you know, the fishing song. We did one that basically incorporated a lot of celebrities that had some good stories to it as well. So yeah, those are a couple that come to mind immediately. They're pieces that I think are both kind of entertaining, but also I think good funny stories behind. So and I'd love to see your interpretation of any of them, particularly the Black Keys one, because that was really obtuse and abstract. So I'm looking forward to hearing what your interpretations might be of other stuff, and feel free to pick through everything else. I mean, I you know, the one thing I can say about shooting music videos is there's always some story behind it. You know, it's just whether you want to share that or not. You know, most of my stories are good. I don't think it would offend anybody. But I do know, you know, they do those pop-up videos on they used to do those pop-up videos on MTV, and those were always like, if anybody ever asked me, I'd be really hesitant to get too much into the weeds, just because, you know, most of the people I've worked with, I'm still friends with. So,
right.
But yeah, that would be my take.
I only have one other real question about this video, and you may not even remember. Do you know what the budget was?
I would say that's probably in the $65,000 to $75,000 range, which was a pretty decent budget for the times. You know, granted, it's interesting because music videos cost more to make back then just because the camera technology, the lighting technology just required a lot more stuff, more generators and, you know, 4-aught cable and more Gripen electric. So I think that one, I would say it's probably more in the $75,000 range. You know, the funny part is they just don't spend that kind of money on the average video nowadays just because, you know, cameras are cheaper, more sensitive, less light, you know, so, you know, on top of it, they're not making money on the music anymore, you know, so, you know, the budgets by nature of circumstance are lower nowadays. So yeah, I would say that was a healthy budget, you know, and I think that was the first video and single off of that record, which went to number one. So I think it was a wise investment, but you know, nowadays it's the amount of money you spend fluctuates so greatly. You know, and the big artists, I mean, Taylor Swift will spend millions of dollars, but that's her money. You know, of course she's a billionaire. But you know, record labels, you know, I would say a decent budget nowadays is more in the $40,000 range, just by nature of, you know, what they have to spend versus profitability, et cetera, you know. And you know, that was back in the era, too, where there was a television network that ran music videos all day. You know what right. I mean? Now, you know, you need imaging for an artist. People expect that. But, you know, your outlet is basically YouTube. You know, so which I think on one hand is kind of cool because then you can go pick out what you want to view. But, you know, back in the day where there was a channel that just ran videos all day, you know, I miss that era. I miss the era of, you know, music video wallpaper channels, you know.
So do we. I mean, it would make our lives a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what I do every once in a while, Vivo has like a couple channels you can watch on platforms like Pluto and stuff that basically just run 80s music videos. And sometimes I'll just click those on just to marvel at what, you know, the process of the art form, you know, I mean, because the genre technically really didn't exist until, you know, MTV became a platform, you know, and somebody actually gave me a copy of the first 5 hours of MTV. And it's just really fascinating to watch that, to just sort of, this is a new art form of television, you know, and you're just going, yeah, that changed the genre. It changed the music, you know, greatly. And, you know, you look at some of the videos from those eras, it's just, you know, some of them are so goofy and some of them are so stunning, you know? So yeah, times have changed, but you know, it's nice to see that the genre still exists, you know, but yeah, I mean, I can imagine you guys trying to hunt and find and track down the makers, the filmmakers and everything. I commend you for it. So, you know, keep up the good work.
All right, Peter. So I think we're out of questions other than this. Last time we spoke to you, I know you were working on a video with Chris Young. I think that has since come out. Is there anything new that we need to be looking for? Any projects you want to shout out? You can talk about anything you want.
The three projects that I think I feel pretty good about are, of course, the two Sarah videos, and then I just finished the Josh Turner video for his new single called Two Steppin' on the Moon, which was kind of a little bit of a throwback to that little bit goofier time. You just have to watch it, but there are some fun cameos in it from old school artists. And the one, a little nugget of information is look up the history of the artists that appear in the video, and all of them have they've all recorded songs about the moon. So so there was some fun stuff there, and then a couple other little things. But yeah, those are probably the three that I'm feeling most feel good about. I've got a couple more coming up on the horizon. You know, a lot of what they do now is, you know, commission, you know, treatments and concepts for projects, but then they kind of sit and wait to see if the song's gonna, you know, hit, or it, cause they don't want to spend money, you know, big money on a video and then, not have it succeed. You know, another video that was more, I think earlier this year, I can't remember when that was, but was, Darius Rucker video we did for, Fires Don't Start Themselves. That was a really fun one too. And, you know, ironically, they pulled the trigger on it. I don't think the single did that great, but it did garner a nomination for the CMT Music Video Awards. So that was, I would consider that a success. And that's another fun one that's narratively built. We did absolutely no performing. No, Darius didn't sing any, didn't do any vocals or any performance takes. It was all basically narrative. So that was a really fun one. Just, it's like shooting a story and squeezing it all into 3 minutes. So that's another one that I'm pretty proud of. So yeah, have a look. Like I said, we don't do as many of them as we used to. So it's smaller bandwidth on my body of work, but still some of the funnest stuff I do. I love shooting them. You know, they're not hugely profitable, but they are extremely gratifying.
Far, we have looked forward to every time we end up with one of your videos. We look forward to covering it. It's always a good time. It's always a good video. It's always absolutely good to talk to you about them.
Absolutely.
I think that's all we have for you today, man.
Yeah. And like I said, thank you for giving me a couple of laughs and a chance to walk down memory lane. I really do appreciate it. And call me anytime, guys. Big fan of your show. Love to listen to it, and let me know when this is up, and so I can share it with Sarah and let her know. Send it to a couple of people. I think we get a kick out of it. So please let me know when it's up. I can I'll pass it on to Sarah and the team.
Would be fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, listeners. That was Peter Zavadil, aka the Sizzle Chest. Guys, thanks for listening. That's Jared.
That's Travis.
And that's Peter. Peter. Peace.
Take care, man. Have a good one, guys. Talk to you soon.